You're listening to the All Things Good Sports Podcast, a product of All Things Good Company.
Hey, welcome to the All Things Good Sports Podcast. This is Jeff.
This is Tom.
And we have a couple great guests today. We're here with Dylan Kaufman, the CEO of a company called Dream Dribble. He's on the podcast today to talk about his product, Dream Silencer by Dream Dribble. Hey, Dylan, how's it going?
How you doing? What's going on, Jeff? Tom?
Good. Good to have you on. And he's also joined by a very special guest, all-time great NBA player Tim Hardaway. Tim is a spokesperson for the Dream Dribble, and we're going to talk to him today about the Dream Silencer as well as some of the highlights of his basketball career. How's it going, Tim?
It's great. It's great. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
It's an honor, man. Yeah. Let's get into talking about your product, Dylan, the Dream Silencer by Dream Dribble. This is something that I think any basketball player and a lot of our listeners and their kids would be interested in. So do you want to just introduce your product to the listeners?
Yes, sir. So Dream Silencer is a indoor dribbling device that allows you to practice in the comfort of your own home without any noise or, you know, it avoids you getting yelled at, it avoids you getting your parents upset, and also enhances your dribbling skills. You have the best of both worlds.
You know, as we were talking off the podcast earlier, I think it's definitely a great product, especially a product I wish I had growing up. We're from Maine, so we experience a lot of snow and cold weather. So, you know, your parents will tell you to go outside and play basketball, but you didn't always have those options. I think that, you know, this would be a great tool to maybe practice your skills. Tim, you had a great basketball career. Your son, he's on his way to an NBA career as well. Can you maybe talk about how, you know, you could have benefited from this growing up and maybe how your son could benefit as well?
Well, you know, I could have benefited from it by not giving my parents headaches. I'm from Chicago, and we had a lot of snow back in the 70s, early 80s, and the only thing I had going for me was a basement, and I could go downstairs in the basement and dribble on the basement, and our basement wasn't finished, so I had to, you know, I had to close the door, and I had to, like, you know, dribble, but not loud. So it was kind of hard to dribble, not being loud. And my parents, they still was like, hey, you know, after about 20 minutes of dribbling, hey, all right, that's enough. You know, yeah. It's too much noise, stuff like that. So I think that's, you know, Dream Dribble is a device where you use inside that, first of all, is great for parents, okay, because they can't hear any noise from it. Second thing is that you're enhancing your skills. You're enhancing your dribbling repetition, muscle memory of dribbling the basketball. You know, a lot of kids, when they first start out dribbling, they have to get their muscle memory together and just dribble the ball in one space, you know, and then they go to two balls, and then they switch hands with both balls. So, you know, that's what this is all about, just enhancing your dribbling skills, enhancing your repetition and understanding that the ball will come back up to you, but you have to be under control to do it. And if you're not under control, then, yeah, your parents are going to be mad at you because you're going to be bouncing all over the place, hitting walls, knocking stuff over. And this is the advice to try to get you to enhance your dribbling skills, not to do that, and be under control and working on this device. And if I would have had it at home, just like I know parents would like to have it at home, it would be no headaches. It would be no noise. And they'd know that their kids are working on something that's very important. Kids don't understand today that you just can't go out there and just shoot the ball all the time. You got to know how to dribble to get to a place where to shoot the ball. And this device will help you do that.
Yeah, and, you know, you're known for having, you know, a killer crossover. So I guess you could even make the argument your crossover would be even better having this product growing up.
Well, I don't know if it'd be better. it's really good now. You know, it was really good, but it will help the kids get it better. Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. And we talked about, you know, like you say, you're from Chicago. You know, Dylan's in New York. We're up in Maine. We live in, you know, winter climates with snow. So sure, you can go out and you can find a place to play basketball in the summertime a lot of the time. But, you know, the winter, it's pretty tough to find a good situation where you can go outside. And, you know, of course, there's snow on the ground. And if you do find a place without snow, you're going to have black ice. You're going to get injured. The ball is probably going to be a little flat. It's not going to bounce off the backboard right. So then you have to go inside, right? And then you go inside. All and like you said, and then, like you said, you got to wake up your parents. They're trying to watch TV in the next room. It's going to be loud. I lived in a house, but if you live in an apartment with someone below you, you can't be banging the ball on top of their ceiling all day, you know? So I think it's a great idea.
And yeah. You know what? I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to even go further. You know, if you and your friend and you all stay in the same building, the same neighborhood, right down the street from one another, if, you know, you could fold it up, you could put it in a backpack, you could take it over to a friend's house, you go downstairs, you open both of you all's device, and then you all could just dribble together on the device and do drills with it together on the device without even making noise, and you still enhancing your game and working on your game like you would at a court. Because sometimes, you know, you're not going to be, say if you have a bar mitzvah or say if you have a party or you're just going over a play date to a friend's house. Mm-hmm. And he has one, you have one, you know, you could dribble, throw the ball to one another with both hands or one hand and you know, catch it and dribble and just do different drills with it. So it can help in all different type of ways. And I have friends now that like Michael Finley, he said that his son has one. He bought one from us and he said that his son be up there dribbling all the time and he doesn't hear not a peep out of him.
That's awesome.
And he loves it. He loves it.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite maybe things about it is you can also get, you know, into specialization with it. You know, there's enough room to go two ball dribbling, like you're saying, or if you even want to get more creative, like you're saying, with maybe if you have a friend, you could even practice, you know, bounce passes to each other if you really want to get creative with it. So I think it's great in that sense where it's, you know, there's just unlimited potential with it.
Tim, you have some training videos or drills you can do using it, right, on the website?
Yes. We did some drills and they will be on the website, and we will be doing some additional drills also during the course of a couple of weeks each month and showing, you know, what they can work on, how they can work on it, what dribbling techniques they can use on there. And, you know, each, you know, like I said, a couple of weeks, because it's going to take you a couple of weeks to master a lot of that stuff that I'm going to be showing on there, and that will help them with some dribbling skills. Instead of, you know, trying to think of something, they go on the website after, you know, every couple of weeks and say, oh, okay, well, let me work on this and that, you know. So it's going to be at least two drills on there where we can show them to work on.
That's a great idea. Dylan, can you talk a little bit? We haven't talked much about the size of it and, you know, what it actually is. Can you talk about the dimensions and, you know, basically what the product is a little bit more in detail?
Yeah, so a lot of people think it's a trampoline. It looks like a trampoline. It's a T-shaped device. It's around 60 inches from side to side, and between your legs is 20 inches. But it's not at all a trampoline, because if you tried to dribble on a trampoline, you would not get a bounce back. It would not work. So there's no springs. It absorbs the noise. When you dribble, Tim knows this, when he grew up, he would go on the sidewalk and he would dribble in a box. And he went from square to square. You know, that's how you're supposed to dribble. You're dribbling with your legs, you know, spread out, and shoulders and legs are supposed to be parallel to each other. You know, you don't just stand up and bounce the ball without bending your knees. That's not how you're supposed to dribble. That's not, you know, that's not how the pros do it. That's not how Tim did it growing up, how he did it in his NBA career. You know, Steph Curry doesn't dribble like that. You know, they all have, you know, this is how they got better. They just practice in the same dribbling form. That's just how you, improve.
Yeah, absolutely. guys. I really think this is a great idea, and I think you've found a hole in the market, because I've never seen anything like this, and I never would have thought of this, you know, otherwise, but I think it's something that a lot of people are going to like. I have some of my personal experience I'll share later in the podcast about how it could help me as a kid. But for now, let's take a break and we'll talk to Tim a little bit about some of the highlights of his career. So Tim, we interviewed your former teammate, Mitch Richmond, a couple months ago, and he talked about how special it was to play for those Warriors teams with you and Chris Mullin in the early 90s. You know, each of the three of you went on to get your numbers retired by different teams. Of course, you were the Heat. So when you look back on those days, it was a very unique team, as we talked about before, you know, very high scoring and fast paced. And what do you remember the most about playing with that group on the Warriors?
Man, you know, we had great times. We understood how to play with one another. It was just like a family type of atmosphere, you know, and it was short lived, you know. We wasn't able to do or accomplish the things that we wanted to do as a team. If we would have stuck together, if we would have stayed together and Mitch didn't get traded, I think we would have been a force to reckon with in the West with the Golden State Warriors for many, many, many years. But just the attitude that we had and understanding each other and how each other played and just how we fed off each other, knew exactly where we wanted the ball. We could look at each other and say, you know, we're about to do this, so don't pass to me here, pass to me on the back door or the lob or, you know, something like that. It was just the synchronized play that we had with one another. And a lot of these guys don't have that. You know, a lot of these teams don't have that today. They just go out there and play. But we knew if we come off the pick and we knew where you was going to pop at or where Chris was going to be at. I knew when he was coming up and down the court, he'd be like, I'm trailing, I'm going to stop at the three. I knew exactly where to throw it at the three. Or Mitch, you know, he'd running down. He's like, all right, I got this lob coming up. You know, it's just stuff like that that we just knew that when we out there playing with one another, we was as one and we was in sync together and we just played off each other like we was been playing for like, you know, 10, 15 years, and that's what it's supposed to be. And that's how much fun we had with one another. Our families, we still connected with our families. We still, you know, talk to each other, you know, every other week just to say hello. I mean, that's what it's all about, man. And like I said, it was short-lived, and I think we could have made a lot of hay and done a lot of things in the West, but, you know, sometimes it's just the tough breaks that we have, and we got to deal with them and go from there. But like I said, you know, we still root for one another. We still root for our kids. We still root for our families, each other families. And, you know, we all family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think, you know, chemistry and, you know, how well you know your teammates definitely goes under the radar nowadays. I think some of, you know, the great teams nowadays, you know, like the Warriors now, they all play well together. They've played together for a long time. You had some of your best years with the Heat. You and Alonzo Mourning had a great connection, one of the best point guard center duos of that era. From your experience with Lonzo, you know, what was it about, you know, your two personalities, you know, how you guys played together, like you were saying, that made it work so well?
I never played with a center, you know, in my career until I got to Miami Heat. And when I got to Miami Heat, I knew how to play with a center. I knew, because I watched them play, because they came on 3 hours before we played. So I used to watch Alonzo when he was with Charlotte Hornets. And, I used to study, you know, teams and what they like to do and where Alonzo like to set up at and stuff. So I was already familiarized with how he likes to play and where he likes to ball at and when I could pass it to him and when I, you know, when I need to let him know, wait until he's set to catch the ball and everything. So I was already familiarized with him, and I know what I could do. When I come down, boom, he turned around, that ball was right there. All he had to do was catch it and dunk it. So, you know, playing with a center and of that magnitude and that grace and understanding the game and what our chemistry, you know, I knew we could go to take that to another level, which we did. And that's why we was always right there. We couldn't get over the hump because of the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Dennis Rodman. But We knew we was right there, and we was going to compete day in and day out for a championship. And, you know, it was just great playing with him and playing with the other guys because it was all business, man. You know, the chemistry of the team, we came out the first year and everybody thought that, you know, it wasn't going to work. You know, it worked because of one thing. That's we wanted to win. All of us wanted to win, and all of us wanted to be a part of winning and winning a championship. And that was our goal. And when you have 13, 14, 15 people like that, it's easy to go out there and play, and it's easy to go out there and have fun, and it wasn't a struggle.
I've heard Alonzo say the same thing about your group, how much fight you guys had. And that 1997 season, you guys were on fire. You won 61 games. And, you know, you had a good season. You were top four in MVP voting, and you were named to the All-NBA first team as one of the two best guards in the league with Michael. And then you ended up going up against MJ in the Eastern Conference final and battling against each other. So, you know, what was it like going up against MJ at that time when both of you were pretty much at the top of your game?
It was great. You know, the competitiveness of the game, you know, going out there, we knew all their plays. They knew all our plays. But when it came to getting the ball, you know, it was one-on-one, basically. And who could stop who, or who could make somebody shoot a shot that they didn't want to shoot, or make them make a play that they didn't want to make. And that's what it was all about. And, you know, coming up with the rebound or coming up with the loose ball, you know, that's what wins the games. And, you know, we just didn't have enough oomph to get us over that. And playing against, you know, like I said, I'm from Chicago, and and I was so happy to play against them in the Eastern Conference Finals that, you know, I really, really, truly thought that we could beat them. I knew it was going to take 7 games, but I really thought we could beat them. And they showed us why they was champions. They showed us why, you know, they are always playing in June. And I understood that. Their team was so much concentrated to winning and conditioning to winning in June. And that was our first time there. And we had a lot to learn. And we learned at that particular time, you know, it takes another step forward. It takes another oomph to get to that next level. And, you know, we didn't make it back to that next level because of injuries, but, you know, just playing against them, the champions, you learn a lot from them.
Yeah, Tim, you were, you know, listed as maybe some people would say an undersized point guard in the NBA, but, you know, your quickness, your ball handling skills is kind of what brought you to the next level. What would your advice be maybe for, you know, other guards who are maybe on the smaller end? What would be your advice to them?
My advice would be always have confidence in yourself to go out there and do what you're capable of doing. Work on your game, work on your shot. Work on controlling your team and putting them in position to win. Be mentally and physically prepared to go out there and play against your opponent, and always study your opponent. I don't think a lot of these guys study their opponent and know what they like to do and what they don't like to do. And go out and be competitive. Don't be scared to get crossed over. Don't be scared to get beat. Don't just be scared to get dunked on. All right? 9 times out of 10, you're going to block more dunks, or you're going to stay in front of your man and not commit a foul, and you're going to learn from your mistakes to help you out and to help your team out in that game. I think a lot of guys are afraid to get crossed over, be on YouTube, be on ESPN, yeah, be on all these channels, instead of just going out there playing a game of basketball. Because if you don't do it, you're going to be on ESPN, you're gonna be the highlight.
But yeah, you'll be on Shaq the Fool.
but you know what? But if you do it, you're gonna be on ESPN or Shaq and the Fool or whatever, because you did it right, okay? Mm-hmm. And you stopped them in the crucial part of the game. You know, when they show people guarding people and they say, "Oh, He blocked his shot not once or twice, or he D'd him up not once or twice, but all game. You know, they showing that it can be done if you go out there and study the team and study the guy that you're playing against and know his tendencies. That's what needs to happen, and that's what I would tell guys. Don't be afraid. Go out there and play with a lot of confidence. Go out there and play the way you're supposed to play and know that you belong. And don't let criticism beat you down. Don't let negativity beat you down. Help have negativity propel you up and go out there to show them that you can do what they say that you can do.
That's great advice. And obviously you ended up having an amazing NBA career. And now, as we mentioned earlier, you know, your son, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr., crazy to see now he's in his seventh season and put up huge numbers last year with 18 points a game. And now he's on this Mavericks team that looks like they can do something special. Now, how does it feel as a father to see your son follow in your footsteps and get into the NBA and succeed and, you know, become the man that he's become at this point?
It's great. It's great. You know, it's great. It's all because of him. You know, there's been doubters in his ear, you know, all his life, you know, and you got to understand, he's not going to be like me. You know, he's not going to play like me. He's not going to be like I played, because I grew up differently than what he grew up. He can only play the way he's supposed to play. He can only do the stuff that he's supposed to do. And he's supposed to go out there and play the way he's supposed to play. And that's what I commend him for, is, you know, having confidence in himself and going out there and proving people wrong and going out there and playing his style of game and playing the way he's supposed to play and having fun the way he's supposed to play. That's what I commend him for. And I love just watching him play. I catch all the games that I can catch, and in person or on TV. And, you know, I don't bother him. I just look at the game and you know, and I just smile when he's out there playing, because I know he's doing what he loves to do.
So do you guys ever play one-on-one for anything?
No. Well, we played one-on-one, right? We played one-on-one, and he crossed me over one time, and I said, he about to dunk. This is what I said in my mind. Oh, hell no, I cannot let him dunk on me. So I went and I fouled him.
Said,
oh, no, you're not going to dunk on me. And I said, you know what, we're going to stop playing, because I don't want to hurt you, because you're not going to dunk on your dad in front of folks. So I fouled him, and I said, you know, this last time we're going to play one-on-one. You beat me. You can say that. So, all right, and that's the end. No, and that was the last time we played one-on-one.
Probably a good idea.
Oh, that was a great idea to stop it.
Now I want to get back, you know, talk about the Dream Silencer and the Dream Dribble and, you know, my personal experience about how I could have used it as a kid. And, you know, Dylan, we talked about this a little bit before the podcast, but when I was growing up, I had a little foam basketball hoop in my house that I would play on all the time, but I would, you know, pretend to dunk on it and shoot on it and dribble and all that stuff. And I did that because dribbling in a basketball around the house was too loud. My parents didn't want me to do it. So if I had this product when I was a kid, maybe I could have actually developed some basketball skills and developed some ball handling skills. And like you said, repetition, make it muscle memory. And, you know, that could have actually helped me on the basketball court more than foam basketball dunking could have. So you know, I bet that there's a lot of kids out there and a lot of parents with that same story. I bet that sounds familiar to them. So I think that your product can help a lot of people. And, you know, yeah, Christmas coming up. So if this story sounds familiar, I think it's a great idea. And just like you said before, the mark of a good gift is getting your kid something that they love. But you know what? It also makes your life a little bit better, too.
No question about that.
That's what it's all about.
And they don't even know the difference. They think it's all for them, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Dylan, is there anything we haven't touched on about the Dream Silencer by Dream Dribble yet that you want to talk about?
This is only the beginning. That's all I'm going to say. It's only the beginning.
Definitely, yeah. We're excited to see you guys progress, because like we said, you know, We definitely believe it's a great product. And, you know, I grew up playing basketball. I played in college a little bit. So, you know, if I had had this growing up, it would have definitely helped out. So we're excited for you guys.
You would have made it to the pros.
Yeah, we'd be out there playing with we'd be playing with Tim Sun right now if we had this thing.
Exactly.
I think I'd be in the Nerf basketballs.
We like the dream, though, right? Yeah, Tim, is there anything else you have going on that you want to talk about? Dream dribble.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
Dream dribble. You know, it's like you said it. You said it. You know, it's good for the kids. It's great for the parents. They're working on their skills of dribbling, muscle memory, repetition of dribbling. And it'd be a good gift for your kids at Christmas time. And you know that they're working on their game, something that they love to do. And you know where they're at. They're in the house, and you're not going to hear a peep. And that's what it's all about, for them to get better at this game. And that, and how you get better? By dribbling.
Well, thanks, guys, for coming on. It's been a lot of fun. Hope you guys got out of this what you needed. And I wish you guys the best of luck with your business.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, so that was the all-time great NBA player, Tim Hardaway, and the CEO of Dream Dribble. They've got their product, Dream Silencer by Dream Jib. Be sure you check it out. We'll have the link in our show notes. And you know what that link is? Tim was saying you can find the product to make a purchase. You can learn more about it. And you can find all of Tim's training videos, which could be really helpful. So, yeah, thanks for giving us a listen. And subscribe. Check us out on Instagram and Twitter. At ATG Sports Media. And, you know, check out Tom's main page, All Things Good Company. He just had a big interview with Medium.
Yeah, medium.com. So yeah, that's at All Things Good Co. on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. So check us out there, guys.
We got some more great interviews coming up, and we're going to be doing some regular podcasts where we just, you know, talk about sports.
Yeah, so, you know, feel free to, you know, message the Instagram page or Facebook page if you guys have some topics you'd like us to talk about.
Oh, yeah, anything. We'll talk about anything you want. If you want to send us a recorded voice message, we'll put you right on the podcast. So, yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys real soon.